Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What happened?
Nothing happened.
Did it? Didn't it? It sort of like, I'm sure it bounced or glitched.
Oh.
Maybe it was a glitch on my internet. So it went, do.
That's me,
but it sounded
probably,
good.
Choking on my bowel bun.
Being sick on it. Choking on your what?
My bowel bun.
You what?
One of those, you know, a Chinese-filled bun.
Have you got a bowel bun?
Yeah, I did have, yes. I've eaten it now.
Oh, why did, yes. Did you get a takeaway one?
Yes.
From Bao?
Yes, from Chinatown and brought it home. Mm.
From Chinatown and then drove it. Wasn't it cold by the time you got home?
That's no, a long way to go for a takeaway. You get them as takeout and then you reheat them when you're home.
Oh, and was it just as nice?
It's lovely.
Was it filled with pork or something?
Duck.
Oh, Lucy. Mm. Did you want to treat yourself?
No, someone else got it for me, actually.
Who got that? You're not allowed to say.
No, secret.
Was it a man or a woman? Is it a man? Is Jeff listening?
I shouldn't think so. I think
Jeff,
he only listens to the bits he's in.
Someone bought your girlfriend a bun. A bun. Not just a bun, a bun.
A sticky bun.
Oh, I'm jealous.
I wow. will buy you a bow bun, Harriet.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
It
thanks.
Makes you happy.
Sticky bow bun.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. So hi, guys. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Fabulous Febreze, and Lucy Freeman. Now, Lucy's currently, I'm looking at the script and Lucy's writing live. She's live writing. Either that or it's a ghost. Now, before, or it's Susan again in the room. Before we make a start on your emails, are you ready?
Yes.
Because you're writing.
No, I'm ready.
Okay. Let's have a recap.
It's going to be one of those weeks, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell already.
Let's have a recap. Oh, do we have to? Do we have to? Let's find out what happened this week in Ambridge.
It was a Kerry Davis week this week, and I honestly think we should have a whip round. I hope he's part of a union and can protest about being given this week's particularly sumptuous set of shit storylines, some of which I cannot even bring to myself to write about. They were so awful. We began the week at the Flower and Produce show, where Clary swept the board and Carol Toboggan swept the floor after being disqualified for insisting on putting weed in absolutely everything. Bert Fry also won from Beyond the Grave, which was very nice indeed, and Kirsty erected a washing line on stage from which she suspended the villagers' dirty pants. I'd forgotten about the whole soil sample thing and thought this was a new category for the Flower and Produce, longest skid mark, but no. It wasn't just me though. Tony, now firmly in his second childhood, was also confused and glanced up from his colouring book to say, washing lines are for clean pants, not dirty ones. That was an actual quote, by the way. I'm not even making that up. Pip steamrolled Chelsea into cutting Rosie's hair, which I was hoping was the last push Chelsea would need when she realised that having her baby would mean she'd have to have familial contact with that entitled head girl. More on baby gate, safety gate. With her usual impeccable timing, Jill ordered a huge Brookfield family gathering to bring them all together and highlight the fact that Beth and Ben were in a gargantuan mood with each other. Pull yourselves together, children, she hooted, and smile, say, termination. Those pictures must have been a riot. Ben's tear-streaked face, like Juliet Stevenson in Truly Madly Deeply, snot dangling from each nostril, and a blurry flash in the corner, which was Beth heading for the village pond. I am being flippant about it, yes, as I am fed up with it now. Beth said she couldn't get rid of the image of Ben having sex with someone else, and now I can't either. So thanks for that, Beth. I much preferred it when Ben was just loud music playing upstairs that gave Ruth something else to moan about. He's much more annoying now we know who he is and we have to care about him. There was another episode that reinforced how very, very odd Ruth is. Her reactions are entirely unpredictable. You just cannot tell how she's going to respond to any stimulus. She was wallpapering with Leonard and he mentioned biscuits and she pissed herself laughing. Jill's making biscuits, Leonard! Somehow the idea of having biscuits with a cup of coffee made her roar with laughter. She's lived with Jill for about a decade. How is she still finding biscuits funny? Then Josh mentioned he doesn't like boiled eggs or something, and she's bashing him round the head with a plank while crying. It's so odd. Anyway, Jill and Leonard were trying to sneak off to a lay-by for a bit of dogging on the bypass under the guise of going to look at IKEA wardrobes, but unfortunately Ruth got a whiff of this and realised she might have a chance of getting out of the house and stealing all the little tiny pencils, so she demanded to come along too. Ruth cunningly suggested they stop at her services en route so she could go for the pensioner death hat trick, but they made it in one piece. Once said stop Jill trying to have a wee in one of the pretend bathrooms, Leonard realised that Ruth was about to invest in a wardrobe, probably called Snurt or something, which was basically a load of plywood held together with blue tack. Ruth seemed baffled at the concept of quality, and anyway, she just wanted to buy 475 tea lights for 25p and get a Swedish lolly she could get stuck in Jill's hair on the way home. Henry is into trap music. I can see why an 11-year-old would be into that. It's all about life on the streets, boys in the ghetto whose mummies make them wear mini Bowden when they're actually really into Hollister. And in other news, Valerie and Steve at Overton are doing the soil sample thingy. You heard it here first, kids. Joy cometh in the morning. I'm actually more worried about who's already cometh in the geriatric sex pond she's inherited from Mick's uncle, but Joy seems happy. We've already had hilarious hot tub shenanigans with Adam and Ian, but apparently we're in line for some more, oh splendid. Helen also returned to put a stop to Joy's fun, splooshing around drinking when she should be inside watching the world at war like Helen. But what about Henry? Helen whinged, and Joy immediately decided to not only renounce the sex pond, but concrete over her entire garden, never go outside again, and cut off for her arms and legs. Maybe she's been learning her reactions from the Ruth Archer School of Absurdism. As predicted, the turkeys turned out to be goldfish. But more disturbing was Eddie's reaction. I mean, I know we're in between Doctor Who series, but I think Eddie discovering time travel and returning to the person he was 20 years ago is a bit of a stretch. And everyone talking about it endlessly. Oh no, not another one of your scams, Eddie. Mm. Oh, another Grundy scam, said Jolene. We get it. You are reminding us that Eddie was once a lovable rogue. The key word there is lovable. He wasn't. He was a massive pain in the arse, borderline criminal, and a huge burden to poor Clary. Let's not go back there. It was a bit lazy and two-dimensional. I was enjoying the new, slightly more insightful, slightly more thoughtful Eddie. But there we go. That's why we can't have nice things. And poor old Kerry, thoughts go out, etc. The end.
I was thinking that this week. I was thinking, I didn't know who's written. It was like, they must have gone, what am I supposed to do with this? Where is the plot this week?
And so Chelsea still hasn't made up her mind. She's still trotting around the village talking to everybody apart from a doctor.
She hasn't even gone to... I mean, I know she's probably done several pregnancy tests, but it's probably a good idea just to go and double check, maybe have an early scan or something.
If we have a situation where she comes back, goes to the doctor and then comes back and says to Tracy, "You're not going to believe this, Mum. I'm not pregnant. I am going to just go."
It was all a dream. Yeah. I know.
I read the little thingy wrong. I thought it was like a COVID test, and I read the line wrong.
Because I was thinking that, you know, that would sort of be a perfect outcome, but they couldn't do it because that it's.
I would march on Broadcasting House with a burning beacon myself.
But surely everybody's like, what do you? It's a bit. It's a bit, I don't know, it's tedious a bit, isn't it?
It is.
It is a really interesting storyline.
It's well, not that interesting. I mean,
no, but
this
no, but
is life. This is proper, proper, drawn out, no. boring, anxiety-filled life. I don't want that. I like nice, quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Dum-da-dum, made up our mind. La la la. Off we go.
Well, also, quick resolution is good. Yes. There's no quick resolution. But
no.
in a way, what they need to do then is just quicken it up. So yeah. make the decision. Just yeah. decide. And then at least there's sort of a burden off all of us yes. in a way. And
it presume, is all about us.
Well, no, of course it is. It is.
It's not about it's giving a fair representation of a teenage girl battling with the dilemma about termination. It's about how bored we are.
But in a way, like, I don't really even believe that it's because, well, unless she's sort of been in denial, but it's not like I'd be starting to panic because the bigger a baby gets, the less likely you'll want to gonna have a termination, presumably. Yeah. So there is a, like when Tracy's so patient, but I think as the mother, I'd be like,
yeah,
I actually demand you go and see someone professional because, or you're not, because it's, so it sounds horrible, doesn't it? But it's sort of a bit irresponsible in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
But it's such a complicated,
yeah.
difficult subject, isn't it? So, like, you know, but it's a bit ploddy. I just like Tracy doesn't seem. No, she's like she's got too much patience, hasn't she? I know she's being really good. And as I just told you earlier, I'm trying to be. I heard a radio program about patient parenting and how we all need to be patient parents because of our kids' nervous systems. But I mean, come on, Tracy, you're taking it too far. Tell her to make her mind up so we can all get on with our lives.
You prefer more punchy parenting, don't you?
Punchy parenting. Not in a physical way, obviously.
Chop, chop. Come along. We have places to go. Put it down. No, not now. Come on. 10, 9, 8.
Oh, yes, I've been doing so much of that. And then just losing it.
Yeah.
Because you get...
3, 2, 1, right, that's it, you're grounded. Yes, that's it, forever. You're never allowed out.
Okay, fine, okay, well, that's it. Just no telly. Okay, fine, you can watch... Okay, fine, 15... Yeah.
Actually,
right,
Mummy has got to do something, so actually you can, but I'm still not cross with you. I'm still extremely cross, look. This is me being cross. I'm just also cross. I'm busy, that's different.
Yeah, I haven't found that patient parenting has made much difference to my child's behaviour.
No, all those things just make you feel more guilty about what you're already doing.
Exactly. They shouldn't be allowed to put radio programmes out like that.
Stop interfering in the way we're all parenting. We know what we're doing. Shut up and go away.
But it was a bloody, bloody week, wasn't it?
Ooh.
No, what? No, it was just the Eddie... Oh God! All of that, Lucy, is sort of
I was gutted because I was actually quite pleased because I believed for like 2 seconds that they were actually leaving the ball,
I
thought, brilliant, Fallon and Harrison can take it over, and I had it all lined up. Yep.
Yeah, but then literally for about 10 seconds, then
and
I
then
was like, No, because I liked Jolene, because she is. Because it's unbelievable that Kenton would have fallen for it.
Yeah.
So the fact that Jolene was like, and it's unbelievable that Eddie would be so, what, you're going to get 3 pints out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Or Kenton would have just gone, fine, whatever, you know, you'll get over it. Or But Clary was believable in her sort of, I don't feel comfortable, Eddie. And, but yeah, just Eddie was really annoying, wasn't he? It's just a shame that.
I know. I don't like it. I don't like. And why are we back to this Grundy scam business? Because Clary said it. Jolene said it. Someone else said it. I'm like, are we? Is this what we're doing now? We're going back.
Is it because Eddie has become Joe and George is becoming
Eddie
in the grand? You know, in the. I think George is going to have to change a bit, for us to just, we all hate hearing him, don't we?
Yeah. Well, he's like Hazel or something. But without the nuance, he's just.
There's no
one
charm.
Note, just awfulness. Yes.
Yeah. And it's not his fault because he hasn't been able to show us,
it's an awful part to be playing because you've got nothing to feel any sympathy with him over.
No, well, that's the thing.
It's just horrid.
I mean, actually, it really needs Clary just to give him a big slap on the arse, doesn't it?
Well, what's missing is Emma. Emma balances all of this out, I think, and it's her absence is glaring.
She's at the pub, Lucy.
She's very, very worried, isn't she? Isn't that interesting that despite the fact that she knew that her Auntie Tracy was absolutely desperate for work.
Oh, my God.
She didn't mention the pub job to her. She didn't talk to her about the chicken factory.
The chicken factory stuff, is that's gone away now?
I don't know.
It can't. I really just put a plea in that it please give us a resolution
make
eventually.
Make it have a point. Please just because make it have a point.
It can't just go away. We can't just know that Gemma's there. That I'm sure that's going to come back eventually. It has to.
The plots at the moment are like a game of consequences. You know,
when you're trying to match everything up.
Yeah, when you write things on a piece of paper and then fold up the thing and then, you know, and then the dragon said, and then you pass it to the next person and then it's like a children's party game.
Yeah, or they're just tiny little things like, it feels like it's like last week was a bit of a filler week and this week is a filler week. Mm. Because I suppose there was the big Chelsea drama and now we're or biding our time a bit, waiting for the big decision, and then finally we can get on with the rest of the archers. But, presumably the Kent and Jolene thing, that's done. Also, why would Jill, what a bitch, have the party, literally the day after Shula leaves?
Yeah.
It's like it's such a slap in the
Hooray!
Face.
She's gone. Quick, bring out the bunting. Blow out the balloons. Who's got the party candy?
It's quick. Weird that,
I know,
isn't it?
I know.
And like, Jill was such a bitch about Beth not being in the photo. But I
she could try.
But that feels like something that when my granny got really old and to the end of her life, she got quite narky. And she was like the loveliest, most generous, warm, sensible person. But then when she got really old, she just had no patience for anybody.
Right.
And she'd slag everyone off.
Right.
And I feel like it's the sort of thing that someone quite cantankerous would do, just get really cross with a young person for being a drama queen.
Yeah.
But I mean, come on, Jill. Calm yourself, love.
She probably feels a bit of a nit as well, because she spent the whole of last week telling them how they were in it for the long haul and clasping their hands together, and basically it was like an arranged sodding marriage, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden, what do you mean you're not going to be in the photos? But how ridiculous. I mean,
and she didn't care that Toby wasn't.
No.
Also, she went to Toby. She went, he was like, oh, I know we haven't all got on, blah, blah. And then she went, you're a good father.
Great. You're an adequate.
she might as well have just told him to frag off.
So there was a few things that I found disturbing this week
that
made me feel slightly, was Leonard and Ruth discussing Jill, saying, oh, you know what she's like. Mm. And it was like somebody of a different generation.
Yes.
It wasn't a man talking about his lover.
It's becoming
his partner. It was a care relationship.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? It's a bit like what we touched on last week. It's becoming awkward, isn't it? That like Leonard is so young and bouncy and you're right,
she now sounds 30 years older than him.
Yes, it was like they're talking about Leonard, you know, someone that Leonard's caring for.
Well, it's you know, that saying, that sort of you know what she's like, it's all right, I'll talk to her, I'll see if I can bring her around, you know. And it's that the conspiracy of the younger people against the older one, and I thought she's supposed to be your contemporary. She's not. You shouldn't be talking about her like that.
Yeah, I felt that. Yes, exactly. She's 96. I didn't realise she was so old.
Mm.
She's like a Peggy, but
without
the adulation, because we didn't realise she was almost as old as Peggy.
Well, I bet that rankled. Anyway.
Sorry, well, I suppose she's a good 10 years younger, actually, Lucy. Also, Peggy is still alive. I keep needing to remember. Remember that.
Also, Ruth basically bullying Chelsea into cutting Rosie's hair. I thought, you'd just leave her alone. She's knackered. She's had a really hard day. She just wants to come home. Pip. Give up. It's your fault that you haven't had the child can't see out. That's, you know.
A, Is a child haircut ever an emergency?
No.
Put a clip in it.
Yes.
A hairband, exactly. Or cut it with your kitchen scissors.
Yeah.
It's a kid.
Yeah.
You silly. Oh, for the voodoos. But Pip's so vain, isn't she? That's the thing. And she's Rosie is the princess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was she was horrible to Chelsea, I thought.
And also horrible. The unrealistic.
Oh, let me pay you. Yeah. Oh God, I forgot my purse. Oh,
it's all right though, isn't it? Because you know, you've had some time in my kitchen and that's surely worth at least 20 like, quid of anyone's money.
It's probably a good work experience for you.
Also, I think it is a big, not cheek, but just a massively naive to include the boyfriend of your, the girlfriend of your 19-year-old grandson. Is he 19 or 20 or something?
Sure, Ben.
Ben, yeah. In your family photo, because the likelihood of them remaining together, you're going to look back on that in 15 years and think, who was that? Because yeah, but... he's going to have 17 other girlfriends after that, yeah, hopefully.
That's but... the beauty of those photos, isn't
but
it?
Because...
You look back and go, oh, yeah, do you remember?
Well, you all thought you were going to marry her, thank God. Imagine that.
I like that for weddings thing. Yeah. Debbie and I aren't together. And, oh, thank God, she was just awful. She's now my wife. I can't remember the quote. It's such a funny one. She's not my girlfriend anymore. Yeah. Oh, thank God, she was awful. She's now my wife.
But yes, and that was just Jill trying to manipulate the situation to kind of put right what she realised she'd done wrong, sort of thing, or she'd over-egged it a bit. What are you doing?
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just sticking drawing pins into St. Paula's diary.
Oh.
Sorry. Like okay. Some sort of voodoo doll.
Is this a personal project or just you're just bored?
It's just really addictive. I've got a bit of polystyrene as part of my soundproofing. And I've got loads of drawing pins and I've started sticking them in. But I didn't think you'd be able to hear that.
Yes, there's a little tss noise. Yeah.
Does that make you feel a bit sick? What did Clary say? Oh no, I've got two things. Yeah, no, one of them was when Clary was pulling up beets or something. Do you remember that episode when, I can't remember, one of the Clary Eddie things. And then she was off to a WI meeting. And she said, it's called Hats I've Known. And Eddie said, oh, but that's fun. Or, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Was it called Hats I've Known? Because I listened and listened and listened. And all I heard her say was, it's called Hats I've Known. Hats I've Known.
I don't know.
Do you not
I couldn't
remember?
Hear either. I do remember, but I couldn't hear either.
I should have saved it. But if anybody knows what that WI meeting was Eddie thought was absolutely, you know, taking the mickey out of. Because it can't have been Hats I've Known. Cats I've Known? Pats I've Known. We know. Well, Pat listens, doesn't she? But Pat Archer.
Pat McClelland and Pat Archer. There we go. There's two. We could do a talk.
If anybody was at that WI meeting or has any more information on it...
Or has some sort of translation service to use with Clary.
Hats known. To a very good WI meeting, Hats known. I just couldn't understand it. Also, there was this. I did save this one because I think it was tonight. I think it was tonight's episode, Friday's episode. Let me have a look. It was when Chelsea came round to Pip's. And Pip was just sharing a bottle of wine.
Rosie. Put the bottle back in the fridge.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't. Hang on, here it is. I thought I might have misheard. Hang on, it's coming.
Pop the bottle back in the fridge, Rosie. You want to see who this is?
Did I not mishear that?
No, because half of Twitter went, oh, what? They're sharing bottles of wine now, are they? What are they?
I must have listened.
She's too old for a bottle, isn't it? For a bottle of milk bottle.
Do you think maybe that's the problem? She's having a bit too much milk, isn't she? But no, I just assume they're having a bottle of wine together. What else could it be? Because
children don't have things in bottles.
Unless she's like in Neighbours and is just sort of like, you know, opening the fridge and then glugging the OJ out of the bottle and then putting it straight back in the fridge. Do you remember in Neighbours? That's what they used to do. They'd come home from school, open the fridge and just glug from the bottle. Yeah, that made me laugh. Oh, I wish I'd saved the Clary thing. I might try and find it later on.
Hats I've known.
Oh, I've got to find it. When you're reading an email, I'll see if I can find it. That was one thing. That was all my notes.
Okay. It was a shitty week, wasn't it?
Well, I do often, if it's a good week, I do try and listen back to the episodes, but I just couldn't be bothered.
No.
I mean, I sort of enjoyed the Leonard stuff.
What happened? Nothing.
No. So I thought there was going to be, because it was funny.
What we learned this week, children, is that if you put lining paper on your lining wall, it makes it much smoother. And Ruth had never heard of it. The end.
But the highlight of the week was when Leonard was saying, oh, I thought me and Jill would go and have a look at the showrooms. And Ruth was like, can I come?
Yeah.
And he was like, do you really want to? His disappointment was brilliant.
Yes.
But that's sort of the...
I think that Ruth is sectionable.
You're right. It's like she's always drunk, isn't it?
Mm. Completely inappropriate reactions, totally disinhibited, roaring with laughter, then getting really, really angry and with no warning. You know, it's like, must be like living with an unexploded bomb the whole time.
I think it's when you haven't prepped a script.
What's coming.
Or like when a newsreader accidentally smiles or laughs in the sort of really serious bit. And then there's like, but you know, when you're trying to bring life to a script, but you haven't read it. So you're like laughing at the fact that, he's died. Sorry, Noah. How awful. Leonard, I'm so sorry, Jill.
Do you remember Radioactive from the 1990s?
Yeah. Well, I don't. I've heard of it.
Radioactive used to do that brilliantly. They'd have local DJs going, and we've got to do a special shout out for Mick McLennan of Dublin, who's 111. He's ill. He's ill.
Very good.
Yes, it always makes me laugh that. But yes, no, you're right. It's this not things kind of...
Bitty. It was a bit bitty.
She seems to be continually taken by surprise by life, Ruth. Everything startles her.
But also, there's a bit less... There's not quite as much moaning as there used to be.
That's because she's now gone completely mad. She doesn't know what's going on anymore.
She doesn't say no quite as much, does she?
No, she's more likely to sort of... go off into fits of laughter about absolutely nothing.
Well, maybe her and Leonard have a spark. Mm. That might be the next twist. I think it won't. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Is Josh going to come on to Beth?
That's what everybody's saying.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I didn't because... But so half of me is like, of course not, because that's the Ed and Will, Emma storyline.
Yeah.
But then again, that was quite a long time
ago. And the Richard Lockshuler and Elizabeth storyline.
Oh, that was way before my time. Because there'll be a lot of new listeners that won't remember the Ed also.
No.
Emma hasn't been in it forever.
Yeah.
So that seems like the obvious thing. Mm. I don't like Josh being all like, yo, bro, yeah, come here for a hug sort of thing. Because he didn't used to be like that at all. So
well, Mr. Newby tweeted that he said, I'm finding it really disorientating that I'm feeling sympathy and liking Josh. I don't like it and I don't understand it and it's scaring me. Because he prefers it when it's...
Yeah.
Everyone's very straightforward and acts completely according to type, you know.
Totally, though. Josh isn't that person.
No.
He's not... He's he's a normal sibling.
Yeah.
He's not that nice to his brother.
No.
But, all this sort of, support is a bit irritating. Because eventually you'd just be like, oh, you're a dick and you have to, you know... And I think I would have said to Ben, yes, tell her to, you know, encourage her to leave you because this is such a mess.
Yeah.
This is not good. This is not going to be good for her, whatever happens. And I think, you know, that Ben's being a bit selfish by carting her along with him. And probably secretly he does want her to go so that he doesn't have to make that decision. Yeah. Anyway, interesting times,
but
maybe.
Also, I just think that I don't understand how we went from the mafia meeting with Jill with the sausages and mash, and the you two are going to be together forever.
Independent.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. And then
I love you, Ben.
Next episode, she can't even be in the same room with him.
I'm going to be sick. Maybe she's preggers. Have we considered that she might be pregnant as well? Would that be too weird?
Yeah, no, people have said that too.
Because she was sick, wasn't she? She said she was feeling sick, and then...
Well, she wasn't the only one. I was feeling quite sick by then as well.
Who knows? I don't really care that much.
I know.
I should care more.
I'm feeling bad,
but
I don't
want Chelsea to... Also, like, Chelsea was a fun hairdressing...
Yeah.
You know, fun old bean. And now she's got, now she's got this... quite, you know, heavy storyline.
Yeah.
Tracy's had to become the sort of earnest one as well. Yeah. I don't like it, Lucy. No. I'm actually missing Ardil.
Where's he gone?
I don't know. I just actually, can you bring him back, please?
Is he still staying at Lillian's?
Well, Lillian's never there because she's
shagging
Justin.
She's in the shepherd's hut.
She's in the shepherd's hut.
Astride Justin.
Come on, Justin. Harder now. Harder. Make this hut rock. Get out of here, Costanza.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
please, can we have Lillian back? I mean, not Lillian Linda. Well, Lillian Linda.
Anybody that isn't Chelsea wafting around like a indecisive sort of ghost without actually doing anything proper.
There's a lot of, it's quite a young show at the moment, isn't it? Apart from the scammers. But even the scammer's got a young one to play with now, hasn't he? I've got if anyone is listening who casts for the Archers, I've got a fantastic actor for you. Fantastic. He's from the Black Country, Lucy. Do you know where that is?
Yes.
I don't really, but it's near Birmingham.
Yes.
So he sounds like them.
Okay.
But he's got a great accent that he'd really stand out because he he's called Ewan Goddard.
Okay.
He's a beautiful man. He's really funny, really nice. And he's young, but his accent is slightly different to the sort of Midlands accents that the young people in the Archers have.
Well, heaven forfend that we'd have somebody in the Archers who didn't sound like the rest of the people of the Archers.
Exactly! I keep saying to Ewan, get in that show because you don't sound like the rest of them and you have a distinctive voice.
Does he sound like Joy? Does he sound like Jazza?
He said, I can't do his voice.
Okay.
Incredibly, Lucy, I can't do his voice. He doesn't sound like none of them. Because it's quite a distinctive sound, that Black Country accent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not that I even know where the Black Country is, really. Is it near? Sort of like Never Eat Shredded, west of Birmingham.
I don't know. In the countryside. I know what it is, but I don't know where it is. But I can't find France on the map, so I don't think you should be asking me, quite frankly.
Is Peaky Blinders Black Country?
I don't know.
I feel like we're quite... me and you are quite centric What's the word?
London-centric.
A bit London-centric.
I'm anti-geography-centric. I just don't know. It's not. I'd just like to say it's not my fault. Of course it is my fault, completely.
No, it's the teaching that we had when we were younger.
Yes, but you can do it yourself. I could look at a map and find out where these places are.
I'm quite good at rivers.
I can't be arsed.
I'm good at rivers, actually.
Are you? Rivers of Europe. Did you colour them in?
Yeah, I can do rivers of Europe. I can do the Po, the Arno, the Seine.
Yeah.
The what's that other one in France? There's a big one. That, like, people go boating on. It's got beaches with the big arches and stuff. Dordogne or what's that one?
I don't know.
Loire.
Oh, the Loire. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I stayed on that last year.
You'd think I'd know that, wouldn't you? Oh,
God. Anyway, beat that.
No, I can't. I can't. I'm in awe. You've just shot to the top of the geography department of Ambridge on the Couch. Much to Mr. Newby's annoyance, who knows where everywhere is and has been there and knows the principal exports and the currency.
I don't mean to be stereotypically gender biased, but I feel like women have better things to do
than know where things are. Yeah. Well, we do know where everything is, but it's things like car keys and where have I put my glasses and where is my homework. We don't know. Where is the Rhine? No idea! But I don't need to know where the Rhine is right now. However, you do need to find your piano book. Mm. See, it's just a different sort of geography.
I'm looking up the Black Country, though.
Okay.
Dudley's in there. Dudley. So it is actually just very West Midlands.
Yes.
Right.
Pat McClelland has emailed us.
Oh, yeah.
She said, Clary talking about the diary.
And Hang on, sorry. One second. Can I just take my jumper off?
Yes.
I didn't want to be rude. I've just taken my headphones off so I can't hear you. Whoa. Sorry, I've been waiting the whole podcast to do that. Thanks.
Pat said, Clary talking about the diary and Lillian steamrollering Alan sounded like they were doing impressions of Harriet doing impressions of them. As for Jill's advice to Ben and Beth, you can do it together, was very sinister. I think she was waving her sausage fork threateningly at Beth as she spoke. And no, sinister. Thank you, Jill. I do not want broccoli with my sausage and mash, Pat.
What? Broccoli with sausage and mash is great. Mash. Yeah. Not as good as peas, but it's good.
Mm. Beatrice Bramble.
Hey, BB, how are you?
You're going to be disappointed.
Is it a man?
She said, it is indeed a pseudonym.
Oh, stop it!
My real name is not so fun or old-fashioned, but I do promise that I'm actually 25, the perfect generation to be encouraged not to use my real name on the internet.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes,
that
Beatrice.
That is true. Mm. If you're a young person, you don't use your real name.
I didn't know this until...
Sticky Lips 747
yes,
stuff.
I said... What? Anyway, never mind. We've been texting. I was talking to William and said, I really resent having to put my email address every time I want to get on free Wi-Fi somewhere. And he said, he just looked at me like, and he just went, you don't put your real email address, do you? And
I said that to my dad before.
Yeah. I said, yeah, what? Well, otherwise, how does it know it's me? And he went, oh, I said, what do you put? And he said, I put poohheadatbumface.com. And he said, it accepts it. And I said, does it? It was like this whole world opened up to me.
Oh, Lucy, I literally had the same conversation with my dad because he's so honest. He kept, because sometimes you have to put your real email address if they need to verify it. But so much stuff, you know, they're just mining for your info.
Yes.
So then you just make one up.
Well, they didn't need to mine for mine. I just handed it to them on a plate with lettuce round it.
With your bank account.
Mother's maiden name, a whole lot. Anyway, Beatrice Bramble, who isn't, says, as to how a 20-year-old American finds The Archers, I was working a boring summer job and needed something to listen to, looked around the BBC website, saw The Archers and fell down the rabbit hole.
Wow.
My first episode was Caroline Sterling dying. Very confusing and made me a Shula fan forever.
Oh, sweet. Oh, yeah, because Shula was so close to Caroline.
Yeah. She said, I hope my dog spat the plastic out. He did, thank you. He doesn't really chew things up and swallow it. He just carries things around, annoyingly, in the hope that I'm going to chase him to get them back. She also has advice for you, says Harriet, do not use TikTok. It is a hotbed of misinformation bolstered by algorithmic encouragement.
Surely not. I believe everything I read on there.
And she sent you some reports.
A new social media app.
To tell you how shit TikTok is. And she said, however, if you must use it, please create a reenactment of when you exploded the product placement drink on yourself, because I still laugh about that sometimes. She says, farewell from the Heidi Hole. Bye-bye, Beatrice, in your Heidi Hole.
Beatrice will always be Beatrice to us. Yeah. BB. It's a cute name. It's very, very well come up with.
Yes. Liz Danziger says, can you two dial it back a bit? Olivia and I were laughing so much this morning, we didn't notice the curry I was assembling included mint instead of ginger. And no, it wasn't a successful accidental experiment.
Oh, no.
Oh, that sounds horrid.
I mean, that's quite difficult to mix up. Ginger's sort of
but we were obviously
and...
that fascinating.
I mean, ginger and mint, they're tactile.
Well, unless she was using dried ginger and dried mint, but even dried mint's green. What the hell were you doing? Anyway.
They were blindfolded. Yeah. It does. It's much better for your senses to listen to podcasts blindfolded.
Not probably not cook, though. Emily Andrews North says, I had to write in because after hearing that Beatrice Bramble listens, I realised I am not the only young American listening to The Archers.
Oh, my God, no way.
I am 29 and I started listening in 2020 during COVID lockdown in Thailand, where I was living at the time. And I know you'll be thinking, how the hell did you find The Archers? So I listened to Woman's Hour, and during lockdown, people were writing into Woman's Hour about their dreams, and apparently a bunch of people were having dreams about The Archers. I'm not sure that's why that sounded appealing, but I found it on Apple Podcasts. Now, more than 2 years later, I haven't missed an episode. I discovered the podcast about 2 months ago and love listening to you both. Thanks for being the virtual Archers Club I was looking for.
Yay! Thank you for listening.
Yes. But
also, that's heavy going to have started in lockdown.
Yeah.
During the monologues.
Oh, you poor thing. You must have...
God.
I know.
Hard to
that
be hooked
commitment.
Into that.
Yeah.
So oof. Good that you're out the other side.
Mm.
Yay! Oh, that's so exciting, Lucy.
I know.
I love it that A, someone could find The Archers in any part of the world.
Yep.
And B, then find us, Lucy.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so happy to be in your ears.
You're being creepy again. Stop it. Steve Barry says, dear Lucy, Harriet, Jeff, Febreze, Mr. Newbie Cooper, and anyone else who is around.
Cooper gets a shout out.
Cooper's going to be ahead of me in the list next time. Right. Belsey, he says, Ben and Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, good.
He's going to stick his neck out. I am very firmly in the It Takes Two to Tango camp. I cannot feel as though this is a little old-fashioned in some ways. Had the boot been on the other foot, Ben coming on to a very drunk and vulnerable Chelsea, we would be up in arms about how there might have been consent, but is someone taking advantage of someone in a time of crisis? I know that the male mechanics are different, but as most young men can get an erection while still asleep, I'm not sure whether this covers it. As for the friends bit, I have always been of the opinion that people like Rachel, who complained that the fact that they were the ones who instigated the breakup, but that the broken up with party, should be required to go into quarantine just in case the breaker up changes their mind, yes, has always smacked a little of wanting to have cake and eat it. At the same time, I am very much of Lucy's generation and was brought up to believe that you do not sleep with someone for the first time when they are very drunk. It is just not the gentlemanly thing to do. I don't see why this only applies to the chaps. But Chelsea was a bit pissed as well, though.
Yeah, but still, like, even if you're that pissed, you shouldn't really forget about protection.
No, no.
You sort of inexcusable. I mean, I agree. It's definitely, it takes two to tangle, and they're both responsible for what happened.
Mm.
But
yeah,
if the man's got the willy and the condom goes on the willy...
Mm.
Yeah. It was so funny. Yesterday I was talking to this guy and he was from New Zealand and he was talking about how much his kids love Peppa Pig and he was like, I'm going to do a terrible accent here, but he was going, oh, yeah, it's just so funny when, you know, when I love little George and when he gets his, when he gets out his willies. Yeah, George is always like getting his gets out his little willies and starts splashing around in puddles and I was like, oh, you mean his wellies. I thought you said his willy. I thought he was watching like Peppa Pig porn on YouTube. George's wellies.
Peppa Pig does dance.
But yes, I think
Anyway, yeah, it's a really difficult one, isn't it, Lucy?
He also says, with regards to the diary, Jolene can be a nasty piece of work. Yeah. Furtling around for something that your partner has asked you not to read anymore is childish at best. To then read it with someone else is poorer. To then make sly comments in front of the people involved is nasty. For Eddie to then play that game with George's blackmail, especially for financial gain, I think is very unpleasant. It is childish when it is George, a wrong one by any measure. But for a man of Eddie's age, for goodness sake... He said, lastly, the Pults, bird flu. No, actually, baby pheasants. No one saw that coming. Yeah, regards
bird
Steve.
Bird flu would have been much
yes,
better.
It would. And I don't believe that he would have not known what a baby pheasant looked like.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think, as I said, like, surely they would have just been suspicious from the start that they were much cheaper than the going rate, you know. I don't think they would have been that gullible in the first place, Clary and Eddie, to say, "Oh, ain't you done well to get like them cheap birds from a random farm that you can't name?"
When you're only 8 years old and you're buying them out of the full transit on the lay-by on the bypass.
I think
well done.
Your prediction of frozen turkeys was funny, Lucy.
Right, Jean Rose. Please remember, chaps, that. People's opinions are theirs, not necessarily ours. I'm just doing the reading here. May I remind peeps that Ben got himself tested and was negative for everything. He would surely only need to get Chelsea to test if he had come up positive. Why worry her?
And who
would mention to a boy or girlfriend that they'd had casual sex, but it's okay. Yes, Kenton is younger than Clary. She is 4 years older. But as Kenton, 64 and a quarter, says in his diary, he needed an older woman. And to end on a rant... If Chelsea wants an abortion, she should have an abortion, end of. The amount of people on Twitter saying she should have it because it's a baby. Honestly, it's a collection of cells. She must have the choice. It's fundamental. Get over yourselves. Right, back to the decorating. Love, Aunt Jean.
I haven't seen any anti-abortion stuff on Twitter.
That's because you're on nice Twitter, probably.
Yes, I am, actually. Mm. Also, I do a lot of skimming.
Right, yes. So does Auntie Jean with her decorating. Have you noticed that everybody that sends us really feisty emails are always decorating at the time? They're obviously, it's really horrible and... So they just get onto the laptop and go bang, 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 and hammer out an email and then get back to the...
Ruth is always on Twitter.
Yeah.
No, that's not right. Louis Leonard should have been up here. Oh, Liz Truss. What about the skirting board? Oh, we didn't talk about Mick and Joy. Because that was funny tonight. Helen and Lee. I thought that was funny. Helen and Lee's relationship is quite good. They played it really well, I thought.
Yep.
When Lee went, what did he say? Something like, but don't worry about it. It doesn't really
affect us. It's amazing, isn't it? How the blokes are the ones that moan. And then when the woman says, right, well, let's do something about it, they go, no, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
No, but I love that Helen is such a party pooper.
I know. Well, actually, she said, we must have been going on till 10. She went, 11.
Ooh. Such a bitch. Yeah, it's nothing to do with us, Helen. Well, actually, I think it is, Lee.
because of the boys. It's not because of the boys. It's because you just want to stop people enjoying themselves.
Exactly. But that was good. I really actually enjoyed all that dialogue. And, you know, that's genuinely quite funny, I think, all of that. Because it's a good... They're a good threesome.
Yeah. Yes, they are. There's...
I don't remember Adam and Ian in the hot tub. Did they have a hot tub?
Yes, they do.
Oh,
they do.
And did they have shenanigans in there?
No, it was just, were they doing it really late at night and somebody complained or something?
Right.
I can't remember, there was something.
Yeah.
But you know what it's like, it's just all sniggery, isn't it?
Yeah. But I don't really mind that.
Yeah.
Especially because the old Mick's uncle's backstory, all of that was quite funny, I thought.
Yes. And the wife, is that his daughter? Yeah. No, that's his wife.
Because actually, Lee and Helen have sort of come into their own as a couple, I think. Yeah. And are good. But they might turn into Pat and Tony.
Yes.
Lee has that
childlike thing.
He?
Yeah. Well, I said, I remember saying, I maybe thought it and didn't say it, which is much more likely, that she's married her dad.
Yeah. Someone who loves toys, yeah.
Yeah, because they bonded like anything.
Don't say it's a toy,
else.
Helen. Yeah. I wasn't going to, Lee.
Don't touch it, it's mine. We have another time traveller. Patricia Johnson said that, this is very confusing, so I cut, because I'm not very good at chronology things.
Oh, yeah. It's like when the clocks go back, God, it does my head in.
Anyway, she says she's American. She's lived in Britain since she was 19. She's now 57. She was introduced to the Archers in 1987 when I met my husband, who introduced me to Ambridge. I'm completely up to date with the Archers on Radio 4, and I could discuss it with my husband and a friend at the swimming pool. Jenny is in her 70s and is an original listener at her mother's knee. She really got me going the other day when she suggested Russ was the father of Chelsea's baby. It had never occurred to me. So she is now listening to us chronologically, having listened to Dumpty Dum as well in the late 2020s. So she's trying to sort of catch up with everything. And then she discovered us as well. So she's now listening to us from the beginning. But she said, what's really weird is the coincidences. Right. She said, while listening to Bert's funeral in 2021, he was planting Frieda's rose in 2016. Very strangely, the week of the postbox arson by George Grundy, I heard the egg mobile arson in 2016, which was quickly forgotten in the events at Blossom Hill Cottage.
Whoa.
And Hazel Woolley refusing to allow the Grundys to return to Keeper's Cottage after the flood repairs was nicely juxtapositioned with their revenge in the turkey yard last Christmas. She said, I have added Ambridge to the Couch to my roster. As I started only just about 1 year behind, and now I'm caught up to May 2022, I haven't needed to listen to the omnibus. I have a good memory of what you're talking about. But I've also added Shambridges into the rota.
Yay!
So...
Oh, you'll be able to get through those in about an hour.
She said, thank you ever so much for giving another dimension to the Archers. You make it extra shiny.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a great quote, actually.
Extra shiny.
Extra shiny. Oh, yeah, actually, you're really good at joy. You should do joy.
Oh, God.
You've got the same sort of timbre in your voice.
Have
on, do some joy.
I can't do it now.
I know. If I gave you a script, you'd go all nervous.
Go, no. There's no. Leslie Wood said, currently stranded in Australia until Christmas, I was pleased to finally be able to hear your podcast. It had Qantas ads in it.
God, that's exciting, Lucy. I think we've gone up in the world.
I have an alternative plot for Ben, Beth and Chelsea. Beth persuades Ben to report Chelsea to the police for taking advantage of his very drunken emotional state, of which Chelsea was well aware. What will Harrison do and how will Jill react? He wouldn't do that.
No.
Yeah.
No. That'd be the Archers gone mad.
Oh, yeah, because it's so blooming sane at the minute. Jacob Smallwood has decided to call us Flashbang and What a Picture. I am so glad Tom Rigglesworth's dad bought Jill the portraits. Given how things are going, hopefully Ben had his own portrait done and realised, like Dorian Gray, he needs to put it in the loft. Slowly the pain will develop in the picture while he looks and still sounds lovely. Brothels, murder or being a bit stroppy with Bess are surely the only way forward. And this one... Listen to this. This is my favourite podcast we've ever had, apart from the Liz and Olivia
favorite
one about
podcast.
Them proposing. I mean,
favourite
email. This is from Helen Salim. She says, I just wanted to thank you for making such a fantastic podcast. So fantastic, in fact, that on Sunday I went into labour and when things were all getting a little chaotic, I put your podcast on and announced, don't talk to me, I'm listening to a podcast. I always find you both so funny. Listening to Lucy's Week in Ambridge did a grand job of making me smile and distracting me from contractions. I couldn't listen for long because my lovely baby decided she was coming far quicker than anticipated and pressed some kind of turbo button, meaning that she was born less than 40 minutes after the midwife came to check me over.
Oh my God.
I.e. walking into my house armed with little more than a pair of rubber gloves, certainly not the gas and air I was hoping for. I saved the rest of your podcast for seeing me through the first wakeful night. And what a treat it was. Thank you, thank you. I anticipate the next few months of episodes will keep me company during many night feeds and these moments as a new mum where you think you're losing your marbles.
Oh, my God.
Also, I just wanted to say hi to Beatrice Bramble. I'm only just still in my 20s, but I did start listening to The Archers age 22. So now there's two of us, three of you now. Thank you again for a great podcast, Helen, Salim, and your newest fan, Baby Naya.
Oh, Lucy.
I know, I went a bit funny. Imagine someone listening to us while they're going into... And then she listened to the rest of it when there wasn't a person and then there was a person. Imagine that.
I my mouth has been wide open, that whole email. I'm completely gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Oh, God, blimey. I would just find us so annoying if I was in there.
But maybe she was at the bitey-hitty stage where you just want to thump people. And so maybe she was thinking about that
yes.
with us.
Yes, yes. Maybe she was sticking drawing pins into polystyrene.
Shut up, Lucy!
Wow, that has literally blown my mind. And then carried on listening.
Oh, no. As if she hadn't suffered enough. She listened to the last half.
Oh, my God. I think Matt Rodriguez-Bain needs to write something for baby Naya.
Yes.
Oh, are we allowed a photo?
Can we have a photo, please, Helen? We won't share it, but babies. We just want to see it.
Because I just love
she
baby.
Is definitely, and she's our newest fan if she's literally, you know, like one day old when she heard us.
Lucy, we've had a baby.
I know.
I won't do creepy voices for baby Naya.
No.
Hello, baby Naya. That's how I speak to Lucy on when we meet for lunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Baby Naya is now looking at you thinking, who is that woman? Why is she talking to me?
Mom, turn this shit off and give me your boo back. Yeah. Wow. Oh, I'm so... congratulations.
We yes. Congratulations. Congratulations to
amazing.
All concerned.
Yes. And yes. If there was a partner who had unprotected sex with you, congratulations to him too. I hope there's no tricky triangle.
Yes. But if there was, do let us know, because the only thing we like better than babies is gossip. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good luck with those night feet.
Yeah.
I think you're going to need something more substantial
than our podcast. Have your nipples fallen off yet, Helen? That's are they kind of swinging open like little porthole things? That's what. Yeah.
And
you can't
also,
miss that bit. You can't.
Although this is a reasonable podcast, can I just recommend Parenting Hell with Rob Beckett and Josh Widdicombe? It's my favourite podcast.
Yeah, and also do not listen to whatever program it was that Harriet listened to about patient parenting. It's all rubbish.
Oh my God, don't.
Nobody's doing it right. Just do it and you'll be fine.
Well, when you've got a tiny, eeny, poony baby, you can be patient because they're so cute and adorable and they just go...
When they're not going...
Yeah, but even that you can I think you can sort of cope with.
Unless they've got colic, in which case they just don't stop doing it.
True, actually, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I hope you've got a good baby.
Yes.
I feel like baby Naya is a good baby because she was born to us.
Yes, formative influence, us. What
Such
could possibly
a soothing,
go wrong?
Soothing influence. Maybe it was during one of my songs. Oh, no, I haven't done a song for ages.
No.
I've noticed that.
Or...
I have clocked.
That bit's going in the edit. I hope it wasn't... I hope she wasn't fried. I hope it was... I hope Matt Rodriguez-Payne had done a nice soothing one.
Yes, yes. It wasn't
her.
The Star Wars one.
No.
Was it the Death March?
That would have induced labour, I think.
So. Oh, my God, yeah. Mm. Oh, but how extraordinary, because I don't think I could have coped with... But I suppose you go into such a zone, don't you, when you're giving birth. And if it all came very quickly, then, wow, amazing. Mm. This is so exciting. Please keep in touch and let us know how it's going.
Yes.
If you need any help or advice, I've got Pip's number.
Yeah. Then anyone else but us, honestly, anyone else.
Oh, I was just really excited.
Do you know what I want to ask you about now?
Oh, so sorry. Can I also recommend, if it's still on Netflix, there's an excellent show that I used to watch while breastfeeding called The Letdown. It's an Australian comedy. It's so funny. It's so funny. And if it's still on Netflix, watch it during your night feeds. It's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, when you're crying, just put it on through the pain. No, yeah. Sorry. No, yeah, you're going to have a great time.
Anyway. Did you use the pastry?
Oh, Lucy. I didn't know if we were allowed to talk about the pastry because we only got it last week.
Yes, we can talk about pastry.
Okay, so I did get the pastry, Lucy. And I was like,
the Dorset pastry.
Yeah. And I texted you because it was amazing timing because I was making a chicken pie that day. And I'd actually gone to Waitrose and bought some, you know, the Just Roll pastry. But yeah. I was like, no, I've got a superior pastry now. And so unfortunately, though, when I put it, it's called Dorset Pastry yes. Company. When I put it on top of my chicken pie, I have a problem, which I'm sure somebody helpful might be able to help me with, which is when I put it on top of my chicken pie, the liquid always comes through and sort of soaks my pastry. I think maybe I'm making my liquidy bit too loose, maybe. Too liquidy.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So I've got all my chicken and bits in, and then I've got my sort of white sauce, but it always seems to bubble through my...
Okay, you know, I will ask Charlotte about that.
Yeah, please. Our anyway, so chef. Unfortunately, the Dorset pastry got a bit soaked, so I couldn't really sort of like taste the pastry. But luckily, I'd had leftover pastry from it, which I then just put into strips and made. And so we had the pastry cooked on its own with nothing, and it was unbelievable. It was like having croissants with our chicken pie. It's so buttery. Because I was like, how can it be that different to old puff pastry?
Yeah.
I promise you, it is so yummy. If you love buttery, pastry, Frenchy stuff that's actually in from Dorset, oh my God, it was amazing. I actually haven't Googled to see how much it costs.
Because you didn't.
I don't want it to put me off buying it.
They've got an Instagram, Dorset_pastry.
I am going to dare to look because it is definitely superior to Madeira Just Roll.
Well, it's won all these taste awards and things, hasn't it?
Actually, I'm going to look on Instagram. What's it called?
Dorset Pastry.
Dorset Pastry. If you like cooking. Has Charlotte used it yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, I promise you, don't bother putting on anything. Just cook it and eat it for breakfast. I reckon because I've got some in the freezer and I was thinking, I could actually just get it out, like cook it in the morning and then just put Nutella on top. I think it would be sensational.
Well, you could almost make like a mi foy thing out of it, couldn't you?
Oh, I wouldn't actually do that.
But put the icing sugar on the top and some cream and stuff and a few strawberries.
Look what they've done on the Instagrams. They've made loads of stuff. Yeah, look, they've made just sort of biscuits with it. Mm. Ooh, yum, yum, yum. I don't know where it's stocked. I need to find out. And also, I'm a bit worried about how much a packet's going to set me back.
But can you recommend it, madam?
Literally, it's really annoying when people say this. 110%, 200%, Lucy. No, 100% recommend this.
I will ask Charlotte about your pie problem. And I will report back when she's tried it as well.
Thanks, because I'm guessing that I've either made my sauce too runny or that the cross I'm putting on it is too... ask Charlotte.
Did you seal it? Did you stick it down?
Well, I do it in a sort of like creuset dish thingy bob, I should probably do it in a flat thing. But so when I put it down, it sort of sits on right on top of it. And I do seal it round.
Right.
But it doesn't often rise because the liquid sort of soaks up.
This is making me very hungry, this conversation.
Have you not had your dinner?
I had the bao bun.
Just had it as a snack.
Yes.
You didn't need it. You should have just put some pastry in the oven.
Stop saying the word pastry. It's making me starving.
If you'd have put that pastry in the oven with a bit of duck, that would have been nice.
Bit of duck.
Yeah. Because I
love turkeys.
I love buttery stuff. I love buttery croissants. And you know that like butter... what's it called? Like where you get a Normandy sort of butter tart
where it's got
thing. Tartan or something
like that. Tartiflet.
Oh my God, I just love all that stuff.
Yeah. And in fact, just the butter that you get in Brittany and Normandy where it's got big salt crystals in it.
I love butter. Also, it came to us, Lucy, packaged cleverly, didn't it? In like silver foily stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, Helen's cheese.
Yeah. Yes.
Why does Helen?
Yes. So, and it emerged immaculate. So why Helen made quite the performance that she made about...
Because it's easy.
Yes.
Oh, my God, Lucy. They've got... Oh, yeah, because they do different types of pastry, I think, as well. Mm. Oh, yes, 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 please. Butter, butter, butter.
I said to Charlotte once, how does restaurant food taste so entirely different and better than home-cooked
butter
food?
Butter and salt.
And she said... Yeah, butter, cream and salt.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you put salt on. I made a roast dinner for my family, for Rufus's family last week. He did the marathon, actually.
And then
I made a big roast dinner for everyone. And although I think he was feeling a bit sick, he was like, delicious. Some roast chicken and potatoes.
Well, he's still sitting there in his tinfoil blanket.
Yeah, basically shaking. And I was like, sit down. You've been bloody ages. This has been getting cold in the oven. Just eat it. But, I didn't, because I'm so used to cooking for kids, I don't actually add salt to anything, really.
Oh, I see.
And then, but his family ran, and they were like, have you got any salt and pepper? And they were just like adding so much salt. I'd completely forgotten to put salt on the potatoes.
Oh, God.
It was awful. I'm so used to it now. But they were literally like, trying to make a taste of something.
Got any Marmite, soy sauce, anything.
I should have just served them pastry. That would have gone down much better.
Half a pound of butter. And now, let's go over to Radio Borsetshire.
Borsetshire, Naya.
Rhymes. Naya rhymes with Shire. I know a Naya.
Now you know two.
Now I know two.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, I have decided to be Elf. Do you think Radio Borchester would like to follow my journey through Elf by sponsor me going to Elf Farm, where I have massage and wear big fluffy dressing gown all day and eat walnut? Oh, why not? Visual. Well, yes, I know, but I could record all my procedure. They could hear me going oof in the massage and splosh about in aquatherapy. Maybe not colonic. No. Oh, now. Hello. It is me, Febreze of Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today on my show, we have Mrs. Clary Grundy, who is the winner of the Flowers and Production Show. I believe, Mrs. Clary Grundy, that you won more of the productions than anyone else. Your lemon curdy and all your chunties won everything.
I did do quite well, yes, Febreze, thank you. Although I was up against some stiff competition, obviously.
Yes, I understand Mrs. Carol Toboggan produced some very strange chunties.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say strange, but they were certainly more avant-garde than I would have attempted. Essentially, I do straightforward farmhouse cookery, Febreze. If you can't put it on a jacket potato, I ain't interested. And it's surprising what you can put on a jacket potato if you put your mind to it. Cheese, obviously, beans, cold roast meat and stuffing, toothpaste, a banana. It depends what sort of day you're having. Do you have flower and produce shows in Eurovisia?
Oh, yes. Biggest goat, aubergine what look most like a cheeky bit what look most like an aubergine. It was very fun, but the Eurovisions are very hot-blooded people and they had to abandon it as too much fatality. So, you have brought along some of your winning entries, I think, Mrs. Clary Grundy, your chunty champion. Oh, is this chunty? It is quite brown.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. I think brown's a nice, healthy colour for food. You know where you are with brown. That's me apple, turnip and sultana chunty. Chutney. Got me at it now.
And what would I eat this with?
Turkey. or cheese and crackers. The turkeys aren't ready yet, so I brought along some Borchester Blue. Stick a blob on top of that.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. That really is quite strong, isn't it? It is also surprisingly crunchy.
Yeah, I don't bother to cook the turnip. It gives it that bit of bite. I like food that stands up for itself.
Yes, well, that is certainly quite aggressive. I'll just dab my eyes a moment. Do you have an Andy's Andy? Oh, yes, thank you.
Your mascara's running a bit.
I know. You should see me when it is the bake-up and Noel Fielding have to say, and now it is my sad job to say one of you is leaving tent because the thing you made was horrible. I weep on sofa and Graham have to console me with a porn star martini and some scampi knicky-knacks. What else have you brought to take the taste away?
Try my lemon curd. It's zingy.
What would you eat this with?
Turkey. Stick it on a bit of this cracker.
Oh, zingy. Oh, I can't open my mouth properly. My tongue has gone numb.
Oh, you'll be fine. In fact, better than fine, because I realised after the judging I'd only gone and got my caster sugar muddled up with the worming powder for their turkeys. So not only is it nice and invigorating, but you'll also be covered for gizzard blight for the next 3 months.
Oh, that is nice and elf. I like that. What is this little pot?
Carol Toboggan's Mushroom and Black Bean Tapenade. Shall we have a try? I've not opened it yet. Ah, Fabrice, I'm not sure about this. I don't know what tapenade is, but I don't think it should make you feel this funny. My legs have gone dancy.
Oh, look at the lights, though, Mrs. Clary. All snaky. Shall we have some crisp? You are very beautiful. You look like Bruce Willis.
I can smell pink.
That man in there is waving at me. Shall we wave back? He is stuck in that little room. That is very sad. Poor man. What is he saying? Oh, bye-bye. He say he's going. Oh, no, we are going. Goodbye, little man. Goodbye, everybody. And remember, don't eat mushroom tapestry if you don't know where it come from. Bye.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Fabrice. Are you doing this bit? Yes.
Sorry, I didn't find my doc.
If you would like to visit patreon.com
and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at on Ambridge. Fabrice is at Fabulous Fabrice. Or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
By the way, Mrs. Voiceover Lady, I heard you doing Lidl on before, in between the bake-off.
On the telly.
Yes.
Yeah, occasionally they let me on the telly.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I went, "Ooh, this is Harriet," and squeaked a bit with excitement. No one was in the room with me, though, which was a bit disappointing because I couldn't share the excitement. The dog sort of looked up, but that was it, really.
Keeper wasn't bothered. He's like, I can do that. I get my own shout out on the podcast now. Yes, sometimes they let me loose on the telly.
Very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
No, for me it was. I mean,
okay.
Oh,
good, Lucy. Good.
And now, over to Matt Rodriguez Payne.
Oh, what we got
who
now?
Who has done his version of the typewriter song.
Wow.
Or the music they use on the news quiz. But I pointed out to him that it actually now sounds like me trying to do the script before Harriet says, "Are we recording or not?"
Like tonight.
Yeah, exactly. No, I need another 2 minutes. Hang on.
When I just went off and did another voiceover.
Yeah.
While, so you could type the script.
Oh, God. Anyway, right. You ready? It's good in this.
Yeah, can't wait. I love this.
Here we go.
Hey. Oh my God.
Isn't that brilliant?
That's award winning.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It that works so well with the Archers.
I was thinking, how the bloody hell is he going to get that? Oh, he has. And then there it was. Yeah.
Diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle. Bing.
Yeah.
I was going to say we should dedicate that one to Naya, but it's not quite right, is it? It's a bit frenetic for breastfeeding.
Yeah. Unless you have to be tap dancing or something at the same time. Unlikely.
Imagine listening to that in labour, although it's so stressful.
It is quite a stressful piece of music to listen to, isn't it?
Yeah, because it makes you frantic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's why I've said to him, that's me doing this, doing the script.
Yeah, gives you the sweats. Because I'm just waiting there. Are you ready, Lucy? Are you ready? Text me when you're ready, Lucy. ping me. Are you ready yet?
Did you get my message about pinging me, Lucy? Oh, dear. Right, well, we should probably go.